What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 85, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me, as always, I have Derek, and I guess it's a welcome back to the United States, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, Derek, we missed 2 weeks, and yeah, now we're back. We didn't cancel a podcast or anything. No. The week before, I don't know what happened the 2 weeks ago, I forget. I think it was
I was gone, because I left on the Friday.
Yeah. So it's all Derek's fault, so blame him.
It's completely my fault.
I just didn't want to be talking to myself. That's just, I don't know.
You can do it. I listen to some podcasts like that, but it's always a lot more fun when there's somebody else about.
Yeah, and I have been extremely busy lately trying to get a lot of stuff done before we go to CES in January, so I would rather give you guys, you know, real content as far as reviews and stuff before we go away.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the big thing, but we are back, and first, let's talk about your vacation. Tell us where you went and if you had fun and
sure,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I went on a cruise to the Caribbean, so I did the Bahamas, St. Thomas, and St. Martin.
Nice. Now that's your first time on a cruise?
Yeah, that was my first cruise. It was all right. I was on Oasis of the Seas, which is a really big ship, one of the biggest, but we still had a day where it was like everyone was like stumbling around like they were drunk. So I was surprised by just how much the boats move. And I guess for me too, like when I go on a vacation and when I leave the country, I really want to like explore where I go, you know, and like feel like I've gotten to know those countries.
Yeah.
With a cruise, you just don't do that because you only get at most like 8 hours.
Yeah, you only get a certain amount of time.
So that was disappointing, but I mean, dude, it's snowing here, and I just, how can I complain, you know?
Yeah, you were sending us pictures of Derek was sending us pictures of him on the beach, and even though it hadn't snowed here yet in Pittsburgh, it was still freezing cold, and I hated him for that. But
yeah, sorry.
But it was nice to Derek to be on the other end of that, because our good friend Jack, who lives in California, always sends us photos of it being nice there.
All the time.
when it's snowing here, and it actually it's pretty. We got about 1 inch of snow on the ground right now here in Pittsburgh. I know you showed me a picture. You have a bunch of snow.
We probably have 10 inches now.
Yeah, you guys have a bunch up there. So the
is
only
that coming
thing,
your way, or is that just like
we I get, have like, no a clue? Stuff. We didn't have much. We had like less than 1 inch, and then I woke up this morning and we had a couple inches. So I don't know if that was that or
maybe
what the deal is. But. Yeah. The only thing good about winter time is it's like gaming season. It's like time to play games.
It does put you right inside, and that's
and cool. It lets us get a lot of work done because there's no reason to really go outside unless you're close to a place where you can go snowboarding or something like that.
Yeah. I hate it, especially as I've gotten older. I've gotten like less into the snow and everything, but it is like it's a nice like change of pace, I guess. It colors everything nice. It covers up all the ugly stuff. So
that is true. Yes. Yeah, so. But let's jump into tech stuff instead of talking about our personal lives.
let's they love jump. Our personal lives.
Yes, they probably do. They
don't at all.
Yeah, they don't. we'll start with an awesome case that I got a chance to take a look at, which is the Cooler Master Master Case Maker 5T. And they've done this T, or I guess the T would stand for tempered glass, but they've actually added a lot to this case. And they have a master case. They released two cases. They released a Master Case 5T and the Master Case Maker 5T. And we got the Maker 5T, which is the higher end of the two. Nice. And the Master Case Maker 5 had been out for a good while. I believe it launched along with the Master Case 5, which I reviewed. And what Cooler Master has done is they've designed this case or redesigned it and done some different things with it. The biggest addition is the addition of two tempered glass side panels. So you not only have one on the main side of your case where you can show off your hardware, but you have it on the back as well. And that's kind of give or take, depending on what you do. If you don't have nice cable management skills,
yeah.
You know, but it does add just tempered glass. It seems like every case manufacturer out there has this, has been coming out with cases or special editions or whatever it may be with tempered glass side panels. And they not only look nice, they're less likely to get scratched because it's a more the material is
more
just
scratch resistant.
Yeah, scratch resistant. And it just adds so much more. It looks better. You can tell if you're looking at acrylic, and you can tell if you're looking at tempered glass, and it's a big difference. Okay, so they they went ahead and added that. They also added one thing that I thought was super cool is they added a handle on the top. And one of my favorite cases was the CM Storm Trooper, which had the same type of handle on the top. And this case by itself with the two tempered glass side panels and everything, it's heavy. With the system in there, it's even heavier. So having this handle makes it so much easier to move around. It's awesome. And the handle is, while there is rubber on the outside, it is a metal handle. So it's not like you're picking up something that's going to rip off the case.
Yeah, how is it attached to the case?
So it is attached to the top frame of the case with three screws on each side.
Okay, so it is solidly mounted to the case.
Yeah, it's solidly mounted to the case, and it is metal itself, which is good.
Yeah, for sure.
Although I can't remember the last time, but there was some cases back in the day that had some handles on them, which definitely broke. especially if you had some hardcore, you know, hardware going on in your system. Dude,
especially back in the day when you were putting hard disk drives in there, and the super long, heavy GPU.
Yes, there was some issues there. So another thing, talking about bigger GPUs, is that Cooler Master also included a GPU stabilizer, a GPU holder.
That's cool.
Which holds up your graphics card. So you know if you have longer graphics cards, they are known to sag or something. You know, that does happen.
Yeah, no, definitely,
Especially when you have graphics cards that have the bigger coolers on them. This also, not only that, you know, you might not be thinking that's a big deal, but if you go to a lot of LAN parties and you're moving that case around, that card is going to move a little bit. So this kind of just gives you peace of mind if you're doing a lot of LAN parties and things like that. I think it's a great addition as well. Those are the three main additions, I believe, to this case, but it's just like the Master Case Maker 5. You have a lot of cool stuff. So you have, I'm not sure if the Master Case Maker had it, but they also included a LED strip. It's red only, but that's just another nice addition to have. Gives a little accent.
It's better than nothing, yeah.
And they have this really cool control module in the case that you connect all your fans to, and you can connect different LED strips to as well. And you can turn them off and control them. So for the fans, you can go high and low. And then for the LED strips, you can go on, off, and then pulsing. So that's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's nice, too, that it's not just a PCB back there.
Yeah, it's nice.
A lot of times the included fan controller is just, you know, it's just a bare PCB. And it's okay. It's fine. It's usually hidden. But in this case, you know, you've got that glass panel. You're going to see it. So it's nice that they put a cover on it.
Yeah, they did a really good job with it. And like I said, you can add two more light strips. And I forget how many more fans you can add. But there, you can add at least, I think, three more fans to it as well. So the fan
controller... Looks like it's got six ports on it.
Yeah, the fan controller supports as many fans as this case supports. So
okay. Well, and really, you can kind of split off and overload those a little more than they say. So
yeah so it's good. I really think Cooler Master did a great job in this. They the one thing that I didn't talk about is that the case has a two-tone design as well. So with all of the Master Case cases, they were black. That was it. You know, this has a two-tone design with black and red, so you have a red accent on the front, and then the actual interior of the case is painted red, and I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's just like, and you can really tell by this case that it's a high-end case. They really they really took their time with it, and you know, it's hard to really add something to a case that's already out there that makes a significant change that makes you want to buy it.
Right.
You know, and I think they did a really great job with that. Out of all the Master cases, this is my favorite so far. I just really, really like it. The only downside to this case is the way that they have the side panels is that there's a lock on each one, which I do give you the keys for, but that's the only way to open the case.
That's interesting.
You know, so if you have it locked, you need to have the keys with you to unlock it, and I just don't like that.
It's really kind of unnecessary.
Yes, but you need some type of locking mechanism so the panel will stay on.
Right, but keyed is kind of...
I just didn't like that. That was really one of the only downsides of this case for me.
How does the panel actually, I was looking, how does it actually like hold on to the side of the case?
Okay, so you, on the bottom there's grooves, and you put that onto the panel, and then you kind of push it up, and then you lock it into place with that top lock.
Kind of pulls it into place with the lock.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I've seen other implementations of tempered glass, and I like those much more. Even though this, it's kind of give or take, because the other ones you'll have the screws on each corner.
Yeah, you've got four screws instead of one thing to mess with.
Yeah, but again, with those screws, you don't need, you know, yeah.
It's like it's fine to have like a locking mechanism, but just have it like with like a twist knob or something, you know.
Yes, for sure. So that's the only thing I really didn't like. A couple other things, but it is a really good case. Now this is not cheap. This case is $249.99. That's a $50 difference between $50 difference between the Master Case Maker.
And really, you're at $250. You're right up in there with like Fantex Primo and a lot of really
not quite
boutique, but it is $250 is it better be everything you want. And
they could have brought it down a little bit with if they only did one tempered glass panel, but two, because those do cost. That's just a cost you're gonna have to incur. I think if they did one panel, they could have brought the cost down,
and I don't think anybody would have missed it either.
Yeah. And I mean, I would assume the addition of the handle makes it a little bit more expensive as well.
I mean, it's just what folded steel.
Yeah.
I mean, but, it's not an aluminum case, but I guess we're not in that price either.
Yeah,
what kind of radiator does support does it have?
It supports it 2.8 or 360 in the front, I believe, and 2.80 in the top, or 2.280s. I gotta look. This week has gone by like crazy. Let me take a look here. In the front, yeah, so 2 280s, 280 in the top, 280 in the front. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, so it's not even really, I don't know, yeah, it as much space as a lot of cases in that price category either.
Yeah, that's one thing that if you're wanting to do a really, you know, if you want to do 2 360 RADs, this is not going to support that.
Yeah,
so
an awesome case, but maybe price just a little too high.
Yeah, I think $199, that was the price of the other one.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah, $199 would do it for me. You know, and that's their MSRP. That could obviously go down, depending on demand for this.
What's it at right now?
I don't believe it's out yet.
Oh, okay.
They announced it, but I don't believe that it's available. You can look on Amazon, but I don't believe it's available.
That's your case Maker 5T, right?
Yes.
Nope, it's not on here.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I could definitely see that one. Well. See, and you've got the Cooler Master. You've got another $250. Oh, this is that one. Okay, yeah, it's on here. It's just not labeled correctly.
Okay. So it is available right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I initially did the review last Monday, it was not available yet. But, so yeah, I think if you do like this case, you will pay that for it. But I believe $199 would be
more competitive.
Yeah, more competitive. Again, my two favorite points is the tempered glass and the handle. The handle just makes it so much better.
Yeah.
Especially if you're carrying this thing around. If you know, one bump and you have a scratch or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And it is heavy, so.
Yeah.
So definitely I gave it a 9 out of 10, and I did give it an Editor's Choice Award because I really did like it, and for me, I don't give that out all that often.
Yeah.
So I really, really did like this case. It's probably one of the top cases I reviewed in 2016, so.
Sweet.
So definitely check out that review. And we'll go to something completely different, which is a router, which I only reviewed one other one this year, so I don't take a look at a lot of routers, so I wouldn't say I'm not necessarily an expert at them, but it was cool, because it was cool to Linksys approach us and wanted us to check out one of their latest routers, which was the WRT3200ACM. And, this router, it's classed odd, and this happens a lot. You know, we saw it at CES last year with all these companies throwing out these numbers like, you know, 7200, 5600, you know, this one 3200. Yeah. This one's classed in the 32, you know, AC 3200, but to achieve AC 3200, it's pretty much impossible on any current device right now.
Okay.
So the way they class this is they have their thing which is called TriStream 160 technology, and that doubles the bandwidth from 80 megahertz to 160 megahertz on the 5 gigahertz stream. Okay. But the only other piece of hardware that's compatible with this would be another Linksys router in client mode. Okay. So technically on the 5 gigahertz band, you're going to get AC 1900 speed. Right. You know, and there's no other devices that I know of that have that TriStream 160 technology or support it currently. So
odd that they would even use something like that to me.
I think it's a huge marketing thing. And again, we do see this. Linksys is not the only one that does this. It's just a thing.
They all do it. Yeah, it's stupid, you know, that they even add up all the antennas in the first place.
Yeah, we've seen, that they do add up it. Well, I went over it thoroughly in the review to make sure you guys know that. You know, if there's really no reason to get this unit unless you kind of want to mess around with that TriStream stuff, which. Yeah. You know, they do have a WRT 1900 ACM, which is basically the same thing. I don't know if there's a difference processor wise or anything like that in the two. I couldn't tell you.
I would actually hope they would put a better processor in this one.
Yeah.
Because of what the additional tasks that it's had, but.
Yeah, but I'm not specifically sure. But all in all, it is a good router. It has replaced my old router. I really do like it. It has MU MIMO, which is multi-input, multi-output data streaming.
UMIMO.
Yes, which basically means that it can be doing different tasks at once. Basically like a multi-core processor would have, that's kind of how it works. And, you know, older routers don't have that type of technology. You'll notice, you know, I'm sure you've experienced it in the past, especially if you've been online for a while, that if you were downloading something on one PC, the other PC would be super slow. So it will task all of your things correctly and give you the best speed that you want, or that it can.
It does better balancing.
Yeah, it's basically load balancing and all that. But it is a really good router. It is, again, 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz, so you do have that faster speed. I did test it. It did quite well. It does have really, really good software. Well, the software isn't as good on the PC as, say, the Synology software that I took a look at earlier this year. That software is amazing, especially for new users. This software is very easy to use. While it's not as good as that, they also offer a mobile app that is awesome.
Okay.
The mobile app, which I used on my iPhone, allows me to pretty much change everything. It allows me to set up my router without even having a PC in my home. So if you are somebody who, you know, there's a lot of people these days that don't own a PC, but they have a tablet and they have a smart TV and they have all this other stuff where they need that internet connection. So this makes it super easy to set up your home network with your phone or tablet, which is pretty awesome.
Not only that, but I'm sure it's the app is limited to just the major settings.
You can dive down pretty deep. I didn't look and see if there were specific things, but all of the major settings plus like beamforming and things like that, you can set up on the mobile app.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's very, very good. It's one of the better ones that I've seen. And like I said, the web interface does work quite well. And you can access the web interface from your mobile device as well too. So.
Cool. Does it do, because like permissions and stuff like that is pretty big deal these days, does it do all that?
As far as?
Like allowing access time on certain devices.
Yeah, you
like
can set up all
when
that.
Your kids can be
You can do parental controls. You can actually do times as well. Nice. You can do all that kind of stuff. Anything you would want to do, it does. It has media prioritization. So,
guest
you know,
network.
It has guest network. One thing that's really cool is it shows you a map of your network. So if your internet's slowing down for some reason and you're like, why is that? And then you can see the devices on your network, and you can actually access them and block internet access. So maybe somebody got into your network somehow. You can do stuff like that. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, so it is a workhorse. It's one of the faster routers that I've seen. A lot of AC 1900 and even AC 3200 and getting to 56, while they claim super fast speeds, they're not that fast. This is pretty fast. It's, and again, that all comes down to processing power too. And this has a nice processor inside of it as well. So, yeah, it's a good router. I would definitely look into this. And one thing I didn't mention is that Linksys has gone back to their classic design. So everybody remembers, at least almost everybody I know had that Linksys. The Linksys was like, everybody had the blue and black. It was like WRT56G or something like that. I forget which one it was, but everybody had it. Everybody had that wireless router. And Linksys was messing around with different designs, and they've gone back to the classic design, which I think looks awesome.
You gotta kind of gotta hold on to those things. Modernize it a little bit, but hold on to that.
Yeah.
So it's cool. The router, they all look the same almost.
Yeah, and one thing that I really liked about the design is on the front you have all your activity LEDs and all that stuff, but they actually have two different indicators, one for 2.4 gigahertz and one for 5 gigahertz. And it's kind of cool to see because, again, say all my devices are 5 gigahertz devices, or I have them all connected to the 5 gigahertz network, and then I notice that the 2.4 gigahertz is flashing. Like, why is that being accessed? Well, you know, then I have to find what 2.4 gigahertz thing is on my network. You know, I kind of just like that, so I thought that was cool as well.
Yeah, kind of a standard thing.
Yeah, well, not all the time. Sometimes there's just a wireless indicator
activity. Yeah,
yeah, not one for 2.4 and one. I kind of just like that as well. But yeah,
I this like that it doesn't look like the monstrosity that a lot of the routers have turned into.
Yes,
they're like laptop sized routers. You know.
Yeah, this one does offer storage as well, as well as other USB compatibility. So you have a USB 3.0 port in the back, as well as a combination USB 2.0 and eSATA. eSATA is kind of weird, but you know, if you had an eSATA,
it's kind of old, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird that they put that on there, but I guess, you know, you can have the option to have it on there, I guess. So I guess they did.
Yeah, maybe they have more customers using legacy stuff like that.
Yeah So but I like the router. I would highly recommend it, and again, if not this one, their WRT 1900 series as well. It's just a good router. Good overall experience setting it up and everything like that. I didn't have any issues. So
did they share with you any like review guide to say what's going to happen with this TriStream 160? Like, is there actually going to be a use for it?
Not that I know of. And what's crazy is a lot of other reviews, when I was researching it, they didn't even mention it. You know, and that's the biggest thing is, again, it's a marketing thing. A lot of reviewers didn't even know that it wasn't a 3200, you know.
Yeah, it's just false bandwidth claims.
Yeah, and that, again, every company that's out there that makes networking equipment does it, so it's not a Linksys thing.
Yeah. I think it's important for people to understand that what they're seeing is, like, that is a combination of lots of things. And especially in this case, it's important to know that, like, you're not even going to be able to use part of that.
Yes. I pointed that out in the review itself quite thoroughly. So definitely take a look at that.
I just saw the price on it too. $180. That's really pretty good.
Yeah, it was I believe it was originally $249, and the price has gone down considerably.
Yeah.
It's back up to $229.
Oh, is it?
So that must have been a
Thanksgiving sale thing.
Yeah, right after Thanksgiving deal. That's too bad. But it was $179. Now the 1900 is $174.
Yeah, I wonder if that, man, I feel like I missed out now.
Yeah,
you kind of did. Network upgrade, that would have been a good one.
But yeah. I would again, I really like, I hadn't taken a look at a Linksys product in a very long time. Again, I don't do a lot of networking reviews, but I did need a new router, and they approached me, so I decided to do it. And I learned is cool. I learned a lot, and the process, even for me as a tech guy, was extremely easy, and I would think that it would be extremely easy for somebody who's not a tech person to set this up. And I think that's a big deal when it comes to home routers.
I think it's actually you actually have an important point of view on this, being that it's not something that's like a major strong field for you, and that, like, you know, you don't necessarily do this every day, so it being that it was easy for you kind of just speaks to the fact that it's going to be easy for the average customer.
Yeah I think that's definitely a good point. You know, again, I don't set up a lot of whole networking stuff. My home network is set up and that's it. I kind of just, you know, set it and forget it. This makes it really easy, and this makes it easy for me to, if I need to go in and make changes and or do certain things, I can do that. And I like I said, I was really impressed with this router. I like it. And I would definitely recommend a Linksys WRT router to anybody looking to upgrade their home network.
Nice.
Yes. So that brings us to the other stuff we have this week. And it is, it's a little into the month, but, you know, last week we did our worst PC setups of November, which we feature just some really bad PC setups of the month that people either are moving or they just don't know how to take care of themselves or they just have really crappy setups, but they want to use their PC. That's the biggest thing about this article, which I love, is to see the extremes that people go to have a PC experience or play games or whatever it may be. So some of these are pretty bad. I wouldn't say these, some of these are worse, but some of these are pretty bad. I love seeing the moving situations because I've been there when like either, or like I order a new desk because my other desk broke and like I'm using like a stool or something, for my setup. So, you know, definitely a cool article. Yeah. See, so you're looking through it right now.
Yeah. This guy with the exercise bike.
Yeah, some people make their own like home exercise system with a PC in there. It's just
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I guess whatever you gotta do, right?
Yeah. You know, a lot of these are people who are just using the floor and they just, that's what they have, you know. So
this is so strange. He's got like cans of WD-40 and stuff. Like,
yeah.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, a lot of these are you ask yourself, you're like, what is going on here? Yeah. So yeah. So definitely check out that article. It is one of our most popular each month. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, which is also one of my favorite parts of our site because I love creativity and I love case mods. And each Friday, we feature a mod or build that's been completed in the community. And this week, we have Project Core P3, which is a Thermaltake Core P3 mod, and probably out of all the Core P5 and Core P3 mods I've seen, this one is one of my favorites.
I think you can easily say hands down it's the best.
It's one of the best. And sadly, there's not a lot of photos and not a lot of information.
No, there's not.
There's only three photos, which this guy, Modder Crow, which we have featured. I believe he is from Thailand or the Philippines. I don't specifically remember. Okay. Probably that's probably why there's not a whole lot of information. When you get into a lot of the foreign, like especially Philippines, Thailand, Japan, they don't document as much their builds for some reason, but when you, the guys from Germany, England, and the United States, they always do for the most part. So
gotcha.
But this is a really cool build, going with the black and neon green design in the Core P3. But the coolest part about this is that he actually split the actual case or chassis kind of in half, and it's two separate pieces, which is really interesting. I don't think I've seen anybody do that with a Core P5 or a Core P3.
Yeah, I think it's just so much cooler.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Because it's kind of like that board of that case design kind of just leaves that dead space. No matter what you do, you kind of have that background of dead space, right?
Yes.
And this just takes it out and makes it so interesting.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. And one thing I thought was really interesting, and I think it definitely does add to it, is on the GPU, he left the stock cooling on there.
Yeah, but it's that Gigabyte G1.
What is that? It's the 980 G1 gaming.
Which has a crazy LED system on it.
Yeah, that was when they first put the LEDs on the fans. They changed it up with their 10 series, but that matches that perfectly as well. This is really cool. Really, really cool build. I'm really excited because I've seen a lot of really cool builds on Facebook because a lot of companies exhibiting at CES have contracted modders to build them systems for CES. So I'm really excited to see. I've already seen one, which I showed you the other day.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff popping up.
Yeah, a lot of really cool builds popping up. So we'll be covering all of those over the next couple of weeks. And we always do a best mods of CES. So whenever we see a mod, we always snap a photo and we'll show you all those as well.
Oh,
so
yeah,
a lot of really cool stuff coming up. But if you want to get inspiration or you just want to check out all the mods we've been covering, we have a whole section on the site called Case Mod Friday. Definitely check it out. I can just go through there for hours and look at stuff. A lot of really cool stuff going on. So definitely check that out.
Check that out.
Yes. And that brings us to news this week. And this was sort of a interesting week. And it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks because we have a lot of stuff with AMD going on, NVIDIA stuff going on. Intel stuff coming as well, and that means new motherboards. A lot of stuff's going to be launching at CES, so we have all these rumors and all this stuff going on. So first, we'll talk about AMD, and they released this week their they do a yearly update to their software. They did it in 2015 or 2014, and this past year 2015, and then this year is their major software update, which is called Crimson Relive. And this is where they really do an overhaul of their driver software. You know, you'll get incremental updates throughout the year, but this is the big update. This is this, you know, if you're an AMD user, this is really big for you, because usually AMD adds new things to this. And they've added a lot. I covered it in quite detail in the article. I won't go into all of it, but a couple things that I did want to cover. One is a new feature called Radeon Chill. And this is a power-saving feature that dynamically regulates frame rate based on in-game movement. So basically, it will regulate your frame rate based on what's going on in your game. It's kind of, I haven't really got the gist of exactly how it does this, but in AMD's testing, the Radeon Chill gives you 31% lower GPU power. Well, and also lowers temperatures as well.
Yeah.
I would think of it much like your CPU's power, your power, like CPU power gating and things like that.
Step.
Yeah, and when there's not a lot going on, and you have your CPUs, most CPUs in general, when you if you don't change anything in the BIOS, will have power saving features turned on, so it clocks down. So this seems to be like the same thing, but this, at least I think, won't dramatically it won't hinder your gaming. It's not like you're going to be gaming and you're going to go down to 15 frames a second. I don't believe that's how this will.
No, I would think that this would sense any time that you have a game running, and it would not launch this. But I guarantee
what
you're going to see.
Well, this is
oh, it's supposed to run during games?
Yeah, it's supposed to run during games. So, you know, if you're crushing frame rates, If you're not worried about if you're not running like 144 hertz monitor or something like that, you're running the typical 1080p screen, 60 hertz. You know, as long as you're getting over 60 hertz or 60 frames a second, it will drop. It will, you know, if you're doing over 100, it's going to drop it down. Like looking at the testing here, World of Warcraft, you know, normally it would run at 107.73 frames a second. With Radeon Chill on, it runs at 74.74.
Yeah. But why? Why do we? I mean, I get like
temperatures stuff, and
but to be honest, like all we've ever wanted to do is crank the frame rates up as much as we can. It's a smoother game no matter what if your frame rates are higher.
Yes, very true. I think this has a lot to do with issues that AMD has with power. We know seen that this year with power, and it has a lot to do with temperatures and. Every for the past I don't know how many years, compared to the equivalent NVIDIA GPU, every AMD GPU has been hotter, in my experience.
For all time.
Yeah, and I think it gives them a thing to say, okay, well, if you had Radeon Chill turned on, you wouldn't have that problem or whatever.
Yeah, but that's like
I know,
a non-solution.
But that's I know, but I think it helps with some people who really they want is 60 frames a second. They don't care. I think it has
I guess, but. If you're that person and you're always doing that, buy a cheaper GPU because you don't need what you've got.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. But I think there's just going to be – this is going to be something that's going to cause them problems, I think. It's going to activate when it shouldn't be, I believe, because that's this sort of thing almost always does backfire like that.
And yeah.
And it's going to be a whole series of avoid this driver because – it's doing this to my games and such.
Yeah, we'll have to see. The drivers are out. I do have an RX 480 here, but I didn't really had time to even install these drivers and see the difference. But they do claim, as far as performance, you'll see up to an 8% difference in games, which is kind of nice.
What do you mean by that?
With the new driver overall, gotcha. You'll see 8% difference, which is good, I think.
Which is pretty standard, too.
Yeah. The other thing that this is, which the driver is actually named after, is a new application called Relive, which allows you to live stream. NVIDIA has this, and AMD has implemented it, and they support Twitch and YouTube and the popular streaming, sites. And it allows you to capture, I believe, as well. So okay. you'll be able to, if you're if you're
save your file,
or if you're not gaming, or you're not, you're not playing games or on Twitch or anything like that, but you want to record a presentation, you should be able to do that as well.
Cool.
So yeah.
Of course.
So
that's good for normal people, but most of your Twitch users already have capture cards.
Yes. But it's just a nice addition, and this Relive is not supposed to, 2-3% CPU usage over what it normally would be.
Oh, it's supposed to use CPU as well instead of GPU.
Yeah, what I mean is like the actual running the Relive application doesn't take up that much CPU horsepower.
Right.
Which is nice. So it's good to see this. It's third year in a row. I think that AMD has really released updates and really made a big deal about the drivers, which were kind of didn't even compete with NVIDIA on that front.
I think you could go as far as to say they were garbage.
Yeah, pretty much. I would agree. Yeah, they're pretty horrible.
But yeah, certainly they've come off a long ways. And this is, I'm complaining a lot about them, but I guess I'm playing the devil's advocate here. But I think that it all looks really good though.
Yeah, I'm glad to see it, and it's cool to see that they're adding features that people do want, especially when it comes to that Relive app and some other things. So, cool stuff. The drivers are available now, so you can just go ahead. If you have an AMD card, you can go ahead and grab one or grab a driver. So,
nice.
Also talking about AMD, it was discovered of all things, in a hex file on macOS Sierra drivers, that two new GPUs are mentioned in a hex file, and these are Polaris 10 XT2 and Polaris 12. We're not really sure what these are, what these mean. Polaris 12 could easily be a revision of Polaris 10 or 11. A new start to the 500 series, which we know AMD, they do revise current.
I thought we were getting away from that, though.
I don't know. I don't know. But the second thing is, which is kind of interesting, which you might be more interested in, is we see a Polaris 10 XT2. And typically when we see a 2 in there or an XT2, that typically means dual GPU.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting if what's their dual GPU right now? I don't know. I can't think of that. The
Fury X2?
Yeah, Fury X2. So this could be a new Fury X2 possibly. Be interesting to see
just
if there's
a remade version of one. They could remake it if they want to sell it for like what is it? $600 less than they've got it now or something.
Yeah. Yeah, not sure, but it's
competitive.
It's interesting to see this because we haven't seen either of these. We've seen, there's also Vega 10 mentioned, which we've heard of already, and we've seen mentioned different times, but the Polaris 12 and Polaris 10 XT2 haven't been mentioned, so it's like, what are these cards? What are they going to be? We don't know, but they're in the drivers, so they have to be something. So, like I said, 2017, just like 2016, was a pretty interesting year for GPUs. I think 2017 will be as well. And we might even get a sneak peek at some of the stuff at CES. I'm pretty excited. Talking about CES, on the NVIDIA side, the GTX 1050M is rumored to launch at CES. This is pretty interesting because we've already seen the mobile versions of the 1080, 1070, and 1060. And they all offer really great performance for a mobile chip. And the 1050 would be the 1050M would be a really interesting component for a lot of people who are looking for a low-cost laptop that can still do 1080p gaming for MOBA and things like that, at decent frame rates and all of that. And I think that this would really spark a new line of laptops for a lot of people. Because a 1060 is just a little bit past that really low-end entry into the mobile laptops.
1050M would be a pretty cheap part.
It would enable true... I can't say...
Probably do 4K.
I wouldn't say gaming, but like true You know, if you want to play Counter-Strike Source, if you want to play Dota, if you want to play Overwatch, you know, those type of games on a laptop, no problem. Again, extremely low power as well. You know, so you could have this disconnect. You wouldn't have to have this plugged in all the time.
You almost want to say they could put this in an Ultrabook.
I don't know about the size restriction. Yeah. The thing about the Ultrabook specification is every laptop has to meet a certain specification. So while it might not be an Ultrabook, it might be something thin, thin and light that can do decent gaming.
Is there a Yoga that would fit that category?
Possibly. But there are, and again, this could just, you know, we could see new laptops based on this. We should. Yeah. If it is launching at CES, we will see laptops based on this at CES. So, and again, you know, with...
performance piece.
The what?
More of a price to performance piece.
Yeah.
Like, you know, save money, but still get your game.
I mean, if you could play 1080p Overwatch and Counter-Strike and all that kind of stuff for $4.99?
Yeah, no, that would be pretty ideal.
And a 14, 15-inch, maybe 13-inch? That would do it for me, I think. $4.99 is not expensive. I mean, it might be more than that. I don't know, but and you have
it's got to be kind of that cheap though.
Yeah, and if you think too, Cabby Lake is launching at CES. If you have, you know, you have a Cabby Lake, new Cabby Lake processor with the GTX 1050, both obviously lower power draw than their predecessor. I think that's a win-win. Much more, you know,
if you can get like 6 hours of gaming.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome.
That'd be pretty ideal.
I think that would be the big thing with this would be, you know, unplug gaming, for at least, you know, four hours. That's pretty awesome. That's a flight, you know? That's most domestic flights.
I could also see this driving some higher-end displays.
Yeah, and even gaming tablet.
Yeah.
You know? So a lot of cool stuff. This is be an interesting part. I think it would. It does help the low end. And again, there are gamers that just play games like this. There are gamers that solely play Counter-Strike or solely play Overwatch. You know,
I'm gonna say the reality is the majority. Really, if you were to take the whole measure of the PC and gaming industry,
I would agree with you.
A higher number play just those games.
Yeah, or World of Warcraft, which doesn't take a whole lot. No. You know. So I think this will be a good part. It'll be interesting to see. We are meeting with NVIDIA, so if they have it, we'll definitely show you guys.
Yeah.
Be interesting. Interesting to see. I really like stuff like this. I'm just super excited for CES and all the cool things that are gonna come out of it. So
definitely.
So talking about the GTX 1050, NVIDIA launched a new gaming bundle, and we see this all the time. They announced their Hackers Wanted promo a couple weeks ago with the GTX 1080 and GTX 1070. But if you were a GTX 1060 or 1050 or 1050 Ti owner, that kind of left you out of luck, I guess.
Yeah, but it always has. There's never been games bundled with these.
Yes. So they have their new promo, which is called Choose Your Adventure. And you get to choose between one of three VR games.
Sweet.
They're indie VR games, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And actually, I think I've heard that Raw Data is actually a pretty legit game.
I think I played it for a second.
Did you?
At the Zotac thing.
Gotcha.
I believe I played it. I wasn't sure what I was playing. I played it.
You're probably just confused how they got you in VR.
I know. I just wanted to try the backpack. See, Zotac had the VR backpack, and I just wanted to try it. So anyways... You get one of three of these for free with a GTX 1050, 1060, or 1050 Ti. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So,
although do those cards qualify for VR?
1060 does.
Okay, I was gonna say
1050 Ti. It will play it, but I don't believe so.
The last thing you want is a GPU in VR that's not cutting it.
Yeah, but still,
it's something.
Yeah, but the 1060 for sure does. So yeah. I think they just grouped the 1050 with it.
Yeah, I guess threw you a bone.
Yeah,
it'd be kind of cool if they also offer like an indie game or two instead.
Yeah, that would be nice. The one thing that I hate about a lot of these is that they'll throw in like tokens in an indie in a free online game. I don't like that. I want a free game that's maybe even a game that's $5, but I would want that game instead of getting tokens for a game that I'll probably never play.
Yeah, and I probably won't even use them.
Yeah, so if I get a game for free, I'm more likely to play it. But if you give me something based inside of a game, I'm probably not going to play that game.
Yeah. I know that I'm not probably in the majority, but I just don't have an interest in most free-to-play online games.
Yeah, the only one that I got into... it's like a shooter. Starts with an S or a C. I
know what you're talking about.
That was good. I got into that for a while. That was because there was like a kind of a break in gaming and there wasn't anything really good out at the time, and I got into
that. That was like 5 years ago almost, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't think it was five.
Maybe close to that. Four? Three? Four?
I forget.
Okay, anyways.
Actually, it's listed, if I go back to the AMD, it's actually listed on their, one of their, let me find the slide.
That's my big bothering. Thing about those games, though, is that I don't want to be like, I don't want to see something that has to be purchased all the time. I don't want to be sold to all the time when I'm gaming, you know, like.
Yes, that's
you know what
true.
I mean? Like, it's like pop-ups to me, almost, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can only have this feature if I give them money. That's annoying. I just won't play this.
Yeah, this, the game is Warframe. It's a shooter. It's actually pretty good. It's a good free-to-play shooter.
No, I don't think I played that.
Yeah, it's good. It's cool. DX11 game. It's good.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I don't think it was 5 years ago. Maybe like...
No. Yeah, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool to see NVIDIA do that. It kind of throws a bone, like you said, to the lower-end gamers, which is nice.
For sure.
So yeah. So
I think that it's really smart, actually, yeah, to throw in games with those lower GPUs, like cheap games.
Yeah, I do like that. And like I said, even like a game that's like $5 or something, to get a game for free, I'm more likely to play it. And it's just like, okay, well, that's just a nice little bonus that I get for buying this low. You know, even if it's like if I'm spending $150 on a card, having a $5 game is a lot to me, I think.
Something. When you're looking at a card like that, you're looking at value. And this sort of thing adds a lot of value.
Yeah, for sure.
I get this card and I already have a game that I know I'm going to play with it.
For sure.
Smart.
So, moving to CPU stuff. First, it looks like AMD will be showing their X370 motherboards at their New Horizon event. So, if you didn't hear, AMD is holding a event. Actually, there's a whole event going on this weekend because I know some people that are there. But they will be holding a official live event on December 13th. I believe they'll live stream it like they do all their Radeon events. Mm-hmm. And this is where they'll be previewing and showing to the public their Zen-based processors. So it looks like we'll be seeing motherboards based on the AM4 even on the AM4 socket, in the highest end one, just like we have Z170 right now and the upcoming Z270, X370 on the AMD side will be their high end enthusiast. You go low end, mainstream, enthusiast. So it would be their, I guess,
but it's also the chipset for their high-end desktop, almost.
Is it? I don't believe it is.
Well, it's the for the. Isn't it this chipset that the 16-core processor runs on?
I believe, but I don't think that's. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's basically their equivalent of high-end desktop. They don't have high-end desktop.
I could be wrong, but I thought X370, based on its specifications, which I saw before, we'll only have two PCI Express X16 slots.
Really?
That doesn't make sense, yeah. I think that we'll see...
That's quite low.
Yeah. I think that we'll see... This is like the equivalent of Z170. And then we'll see another that has yet to be announced, high-end desktop, I believe.
Okay.
Unless I'm wrong, but
another chipset.
Yeah, another chipset that gives you, because if you're doing something again on the high end desktop side, you want a lot more PCI Express lanes than this has.
Certainly. I actually think that even at this level, you want more than two times.
Well, that's how Intel is set up. You have the only way to get those extra lanes is if you take away from something else. So, you know, a lot of times you'll have the two X16s, and then you'll have the next one will drop down to X4, X8. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it going to do that, though? Is it going to go two times X16, and then, say you go to four, it's going to go four times eight?
I don't specifically know how this is wired, so I can't tell you. It could be based on, like, the Intel stuff, it could be based on GPU, or the CPU you use as well.
Right.
You know, so I'm not specifically sure, because I don't know the specifics of this chipset yet. But the good thing, if you are waiting for Zen, if you know, and you're gonna, this will be your next upgrade, is that you will get native M.2 NVMe, which is huge, and SATA Express, and DDR4 and USB 3.1 Gen 2. So all of the features that we've had on Z170 and we'll have on Z270, you will get on this chipset. So that's huge, because for the longest time, AMD has always been behind on their chipsets when it comes to those features. A lot of those features were added on by third parties, but to have them natively is just awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal for them. So how much faith do you have in this first generation of chipset? Because they had so much trouble getting all these features to work together.
The event is the 13th, which is what, Tuesday? Wednesday? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So the event's Tuesday. I'll be watching the events, and we'll kind of see how it goes, you know. It's really hard because, you know, we were super excited. I was super excited about the Fury series and all that stuff, and it, you know, when it comes to the graphics card stuff, I just didn't do it for me, and I know it didn't do it for you. I haven't had my hands on an AMD motherboard or processor in a long time.
I know. It's been a really long time.
So, and I would hope that AMD has made a big push. They did this past year. They really worked with motherboard manufacturers to create motherboards for, what was that, whatever the last chipset was. That had a lot of the features and had a lot of the looks. And, like, you know, we saw Asus come out with some nice AMD motherboards this year. You know, so I think if they work really hard with motherboard manufacturers to say, hey, you know, you have this awesome line through your Intel series, we want that awesome line on this. And here's what we're doing to help you out and make this possible, you know?
Yeah. They've got a long ways to go still, I think, in, like, the features department, obviously, we covered that, but, like, looks-wise, AMD boards have just, they kind of look like trash.
Yeah, so, that's what they did. That's what they did this past year as well. They worked with Asus and Gigabyte and all that to come up with boards that are in the same, you know, they'll be an ROG board.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. They have been working with them. So, it's going to be, I really think 2017 is going to be an interesting year on this, all the motherboard, CPU, it's going to be an awesome time for tech, I think.
It's an awesome time to be a consumer.
Yeah, and a lot of the cool VR stuff that's going on too. Like, we'll see all of this at CES, but it's going to be a really interesting time as long as all of the hype and everything is marginally what it act the actual real performance is, I'll be excited.
I feel that AMD, the Zen chips, the fastest Zen chips, the ones they've already said are faster than the high-end desktop chips from Intel, they need to be at least 85% of the rumor.
Yeah.
As far as speed and performance goes, anything less and it'll be incredibly disappointing and they'll fail. Anything more is just obviously a bonus.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's, like I said, it's going to be interesting. We might get a sneak peek of this stuff at CES. And again, we'll get a lot of information on Tuesday, which we'll have for you on the site. So definitely stay tuned. And I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to watch the event. I'm almost positive. So we'll have the live stream details for that for you guys as well. So just check our Facebook or Twitter. We'll have it for you.
Nice.
Yes. So moving back to the Intel side, you were gone. You missed all of the leaks. There were so many leaks on the Z270 motherboards. Almost all of Asus boards had been leaked. MSI T-Sum, Gigabyte T-Sum. There's a lot.
Back and read.
Yeah, there's a ton. It's literally the entire Asus line was leaked. So if you want to see what Asus is coming out with,
I gotta check that out.
Yeah. That was a busy day for me. A lot of stuff going on. But so we talked about it a couple, maybe a month ago, that Gigabyte, their Aorus brand, which basically made gaming laptops, good ones, good gaming laptops, they're turning
really unique ones, actually.
Yeah, they're turning that into a brand by itself, much like Asus's ROG. If you don't know that Asus did that, is if you look at any of their products, they're called Republic of Gamers. They're not called Asus. So Gigabyte plans to do the same thing with Aorus. They're, all of the products will be branded Aorus without Gigabyte on them. So the thing that I really want to talk to about Gigabyte is where this stands in their product stack, because they have their mainline Gigabyte products and then they have their Extreme Gaming products. Now, does this sit above Extreme Gaming, or does this sit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's going to be weird to see how this sits in their product stack, but they teased some of their Z270 motherboards. So we will, that was what the rumor was, that they're going to be their own brand. They will have their own brand. They will at least have Z270 motherboards, and look pretty cool. They look, obviously being Gigabyte, they look a lot like Gigabyte's
G1.
Yeah, G1 series. But based on the looks, for me, this sits below the G1 line.
It looks like, yeah, it definitely does.
Because the heatsink
coverage.
Yeah, don't have that crazy heatsink coverage. You have the
lighting
LEDs.
Isn't quite as extensive, is it?
It's a little less extensive, but it's almost on par. But yeah, so it's interesting. I'm glad to see another brand come out, kind of, where we might get a little different things. I don't know.
Yeah, even though it's sort of, it is and it isn't.
Because Asus,
it'll never compete with Gigabyte, right? They wouldn't set it up to do that.
No, it's set up to be just like, see, Asus is still kind of, because you have Asus mainline stuff, and then you have Strix, and then you have ROG.
Yeah.
So Gigabyte has their main, I don't know what you call their mainline. And then on the motherboard side or whatever, oh no, you have G1 gaming and then you have Extreme Gaming. So where's Aorus going to fit in between all that? I don't know.
Yeah, what features are they going to pare down from G1 or whatever to make this new line? They can't give it all the features, right?
Yeah. And
unless they want Aorus to be their ROG, in which case then they have to be better than G1, but they've already got G1, so why would they do that?
It's very confusing. So we'll see. And again, the Asus thing was confusing too, because if you look at the Strix products and you look at the ROG products, they're extremely similar.
Different design. The Strix kind of always has, you can tell it's a Strix though. It's got a design flair.
Yeah.
Slightly different.
So
gosh, yeah, it's hard to, this whole thing is
crazy. That's what, like, we also will be meeting with Gigabyte, and I really want to talk to him about this, because I want to see where it fits in the product stack and how is it really going to be. I mean, it's obviously not going to be their super own brand, because if you look at the design, it looks like a G1 board. It's not going to be crazy different. It's going to be, like I said, very interesting.
Yeah,
we will have to see. Yeah. So,
holy cow, though, you should not have mentioned that all those Asus boards got leaked, because now I'm just drooling over here.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool Asus stuff coming out.
They look really good.
Yes. But on the MSI side, MSI also leaked two Z270 motherboards. They're Z270 SLI Plus and Z270 SLI. These also look really good. If you're not familiar with the MSI's SLI line, it's actually pretty nice. It's like a black, like all matte black with kind of like silver accents. Really cool. And it's great
to
see.
They're kind of like lower end enthusiasts though, right?
Yeah, they're lower end enthusiasts, but they give you a lot of the same features. One thing that you are going to see on a lot of Z270 motherboards is you'll see dual PCI Express 3.0 X4 M.2 slots. You'll see two of them on almost all boards because the Z270 chipset has more downstream PCI Express lanes, which is cool. Right. So yeah, so like I said, pretty much every company has had some type of leak or some type of teasing of Z270. So just check out our site. There's a ton on there, and Derek is looking through all the Asus stuff.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking at this on my side. I'm just, I don't know. you can't see much of the boards, right? They're kind of blacked out.
Yeah, the Asus was a full leak, though, which was not teased. They were leaks. Yeah. Somebody leaked it. And you it basically gives you all of the information down to the T on each board, so there's a lot.
These are basically just responses to that.
Yes.
I would guess.
All right. So, we have two more news stories. So, we have Microsoft, which has been going on all week. So, this is kind of late news if you're... But it is a really big deal because they're giving some crazy discounts on PC products. So, if you've never been to the Microsoft online store, they don't just sell Microsoft products. They sell laptops and PCs and everything. They sell a lot of stuff. And so, they've been running this this promo or deal all week called 12 Days a Deal, which offers you discounts on PC and PC products. The first day was pretty awesome. Like there was an Alienware laptop that was $1,000 off, and I looked online and it was actually $1,000 off.
Nice.
You know, this is just time of year to clear a lot of inventory, and I think it's what they're doing. But there's some really great deals. They have a lot of stuff going on. Today is what, the 11th. 40% on Dell PCs with prices starting at $199. And tomorrow is the last day, and you'll save up to $200 on select Surface Pro 4 models.
That's wrong. You're saying you went with 11 for the
day. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, so today is you buy an Xbox controller and you get a $25 Microsoft Store gift code. So this is going on to the 16th. Yeah, so this is going on to the 16th. I'm sorry. I read this wrong. Yeah, so and then tomorrow, which would be the 12th, you save $50 and get two free games with select Xbox One consoles.
Sweet.
Yeah, and then okay, so they are running the $1,000 off deal again. I don't know if it's gonna be on the same PC, but day 10, which is the 14th, save up to $1,000 on select Intel powered gaming PCs. So the way that when I looked at it on day one is they had one PC that was $1,000 off. A lot of them were like $200, $300. But there was one PC that was $1,000 off, and it was a super high-end Alienware. I believe it was the Alienware 17. That was like legit $1,000 off. Because I looked on Amazon, and the price didn't even compare. So it's pretty cool for Microsoft to do this. So I have a list of all of the days and what's actually going to be on sale, whether it's PC stuff or Xbox stuff. It will be on sale. So there's a $100 Microsoft Store gift code when you buy... either Oculus Rift or HTC Vive. So
not bad, because you're going to buy some stuff anyways. Of course, when you go to use that store gift code to like buy a game or whatever for your Vive, you're never going to be able to actually download it and play it. But you'll have the $100.
Derek had this crazy... I actually had issues with Gears of War as well.
Yeah, dude, it's not me.
So we both bought Gears of War on Black Friday. You bought on Black Friday?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then he went away, and he was having trouble installing it. I'll go over my story, which was I went to Microsoft for their games. And while I do have to commend Microsoft on if when you're actually using Gears of War, you like Alt-Tab out, you don't have any issues, or you open another program, you don't have any issues that you would with like a game on Steam where it like messes up your resolution or like...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have any of that when I use Steam.
Really?
Yeah, no, but I also... Well, no. I found that the store, actually, I found it was odd the way it tabbed out on Gears. It wouldn't... When I tabbed out, it, like, wouldn't let me access the main screen that Gears was actually on.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But I... For me, the experience of using other apps while I have Gears open is much more fluid, and it's like it uses less power when I'm tabbed out.
Okay. I imagine that it should work better.
Yeah, that's the whole idea behind it, is that it should work better. Yeah. But my issue was that I set to install Gears, and it said I didn't have enough space. But I did. On my PC, like, I know I did. And my remedy for that was I just took my laptop, and I set to download it. And it was like, okay, yeah, you have enough space on this laptop. And I set to download it, and then I just canceled the download. And then I went back to my main PC, and it's like, oh, yeah, you can install it now. It was really weird.
Okay, yeah, that's really weird. I have something to add to that, but I don't want to launch into my whole story unless you're done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So my issue was I had the download issue that a lot of people had, that they just couldn't get it to download. Which actually, I started it, it ran fine, and then I had to stop it because I left for vacation, came back, restarted it, and it had just the amount of space that it was going to need and download was just way wrong. So I stopped it, deleted it, and started again. And it just, it would go for like portions of a second and then stop, and just could not get this thing to actually download. And then I ran into issues with it, with the space thing, even though I should have had the space. It wasn't deleting when I stopped it. It wasn't deleting the previous download files. So it was taking space. Yeah, just all kinds of things. And I finally just left it during the day one day, I think. And it just came home and it had downloaded.
Wow.
I had probably put like 3 hours into trying to figure that thing out.
Yeah, I was...
If you Google it, it's just like problem after problem after problem.
Yeah, it seems like when it works flawlessly. But when it doesn't, there's a lot of issues. And, you know, that was a big deal with the other Gears game that came out, which was incredibly horrible. And this Gears makes up for it. If you do get this, if you do get Gears working, Gears of War 4 working on your PC, you know, and you're using a you know 1070 or even older cards, but like it looks beautiful. It's a great game, and it's just, you know, I've been playing a lot of it lately, and I really like it. Just a great, you know, and it has a lot of NVIDIA features. It's like one of the first games that have a lot of these NVIDIA features that no other games have yet. So there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Nice.
It's just
unfortunate that, you know, Windows is... I don't understand how they can be so bad at it. That's the thing.
Like, yeah.
And like you said, it's amazing when it works. I was getting 90 megs when it was working, which is what, like almost 8 times what I get through Steam.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like Origin too. Origin downloads much faster than Steam does. And I think that's a capacity thing too, because I mean, look how many more games and people are on Steam.
Steam is just constant usage.
I think that if Windows, just like when Origin came out, everybody's like, I'm never using this, I'm not using it.
Oh, it was trash.
Yeah, and even just like their latest revision of the software, which happened a couple months ago, is awesome. It's so much better than the... Yeah, so it just, you got to give them time. It is Microsoft, we know, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
But they made it that way for specific reasons, to enable a lot of the DX12 features of the game as too.
I guess.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. So
there's a lot that's missing too.
Yeah.
From the store, that things you don't get that you get when you're on Steam.
Yeah. So, but it, I do enjoy the game, and I think that if they continue to work out these issues, it will eventually be good. So
eventually, I gotta ask you this. So this is the question at the end of the day. If you had the option to buy it on Steam or the Windows Store, where would you have bought it?
Steam.
Yeah.
All my friends are on Steam. It's just like it's a thing.
All your games are on Steam, right?
Yeah, all my games are on Steam too.
So.
Besides Battlefield 1 and all the Battlefield games, and
the random others,
and Star Wars,
that's EVGA too. So,
and then like games I haven't played in a while, like all the Epic games, they have their own launcher, like, you know, like Unreal Tournament. And
okay, so I guess a majority of your games,
yeah, but no, I'm just saying, like, yeah, I would say a good 90% of my games are Steam, so
yeah.
So yeah, talking about Steam, we'll go into our last story here.
I didn't even do that on purpose.
Yeah, the Steam winter sale dates are leaked. So Steam always has sales. We just went through one for Black Friday, and then there was the Halloween sale and all this stuff. But the big ones are the summer sale and the winter sale. Those are the huge Steam sales, where there's just crazy sales. Everything is on sale, basically. Pretty much everything in the store is on sale. And then each day there's like these crazy fire sales and all kinds of stuff going on. It is... Like I said, summer sale, winter sale, two biggest ones. So if you are a gamer, I would hold out for this sure.
Yeah, sure.
This
starts... Your AAA title will be on that almost for sure.
Yeah, it will be on sale. Even if it's a little bit off, it still will be on sale. Pretty much everything that has come out that's on Steam should be at least discounted slightly.
Yeah.
If it just came out, expect a couple dollars off or something like that. But just, you know, they just make it this sale is awesome. If you're looking to pick up games, or you have games in your wish list, they will likely be on sale. So this starts December 22nd and will run through the 2nd of January. So expect some awesome stuff. I would definitely hold out, especially if you're getting Christmas money. You'll be able to spend it on stuff on the Steam sale. So,
sure.
Pretty excited.
I think that, man, I wish that there weren't as many sales. You kind of mentioned that in the your post, but it's like they kind of like overdo it. It's like, oh, another Steam sale. Oh, another Steam sale.
Yeah.
It's like, but this is the good one, though.
This is the bit, like, again, summer. I remember the one summer sale. I spent a ridiculous amount of money on games.
And it wasn't used to be like, the summer sale. That one would get you.
The summer sale was like, my money's all gone.
Yeah.
Because you buy, then you're like, oh, it's only $4.99, then it's $4.99, and then this one's $1. It just adds up.
Next thing you know, you just bought like 15 games.
Yeah, and a lot of those games I bought that one year, the summer sale, I haven't even played yet.
The majority of the games I buy on Steam, I never play.
Yeah, so.
But I gotta have them.
Yeah. It's like we bought Gears because it was on sale.
Yeah.
But I have.
Well, I did want to play it, but like, oh, okay, now is definitely the time to buy it.
Yeah. If you missed that, it was $35.99 instead of what, $59.99 or $54.99?
Yeah, that was a good deal.
Yeah.
That was and really actually, good. The Titanfall Battlefield 1 combination was a better deal than I thought it was because that was for the deluxe editions. It was $80 for both deluxe editions.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so there's actually a good value there when they're $80 games a piece. Comes with all the maps and stuff, so.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely, I will definitely probably pick up a couple games during that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to what we have coming up next week. You are taking a look at the NZXT S340 Elite.
Indeed.
Do you like it?
Do you want me to talk about it?
I mean, you can tell. give us your teaser. Give us your 30-second teaser.
It's sick.
That's it. Two words. It's sick.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like in NZXT, like they make a lot of really good cases. They do a lot of really smart things, and that's why their cases are so good. And I was thoroughly impressed with this one. There's, you know, there's a couple of little things, but it's also a really affordable case. It's got tempered glass. It's VR ready as a case can be. So we'll get more into it next week. But it's check out my review.
Review comes out tomorrow. So if you're listening to this podcast, because I'll put this up tonight, if you're listening to this on Monday, the review is out. It's on the site, so definitely check it out.
It's really cool, and like, yeah, I mean, I've got it right now next to me.
And you turned this into your main.
Yeah, I built my main system into it.
Yeah, so
actually, I haven't done a build in a while, and I haven't done a mod in a really long time. And after building this one, I'm going to actually buy some parts, I think, and I'm going to mod this case a little bit.
Nice.
And do some cool stuff. So.
Nice. So we'll definitely chronicle that. So.
Yeah.
So I'll be taking a look at a CPU cooler. It is the Sith Kabuto 3, and this is a revision of their Kabuto 2, which is their top flow cooler. It's a high performance cooler, so you can put it on anything, but this is made for smaller form factor builds where you still want a lot of cooling. A lot of like mini ITX builds you could use this in. They remade it to be like maximum compatibility.
Okay.
And it installs pretty easily. I tested it last week and it works really great, high performance. But definitely stay tuned for my review because I don't want to give it all away. But it is a good cooler. I do like it.
Seems like Scythe makes some really good products.
They do. They need to redo their website and have better marketing
you
people.
You beat me to it. That was my next comment.
Redo the website, better marketing people, better product photos.
Otherwise, like their products are great. You just need to do a little more.
Oh, there's a lot of companies I can name. And a lot of them are based in Taiwan companies. Enermax is another one who make really good products, but their marketing photos are horrible and their website's pretty dated. There's a good amount of them. You know, like over here, you know, we have NZXT, and if you look at their website, it's really awesome. If you look at
extremely
their product photos are really good. And Corsair did this. Again, I've gone over Corsair so many times about how they were just a memory company and not even the best, I would say. But now they're top at AIO cooling. They're one of the top. They're still one of the top. They're one of the top at cases. They're one of the top at gaming keyboards. You know.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was just marketing, I'm telling you.
I agree with you 100%. They made themselves the company for that stuff.
Yeah. So, other companies, if you're listening to this podcast...
Which you're probably not, but...
You're probably not, but if you are, that's how to, you know, really...
At least make a good website. This is all based around.
Yeah, so...
You got me to look at Enermax here, and it's trash.
Yeah.
It doesn't even load right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that need fixed with a lot of companies. But the product is a good product, so...
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, both companies.
Yes, and then finally, we will have our holiday 2016 wish list, which is all of us guys here at Think Computers, we compile a list of 4 to 5 things that we would like this year. And I like my list. I wish I could get some of the things on my list.
I like my list too. I went a little more realistic this year. Last year I was like reaching for the stars, but
yeah,
like I might actually get some of the things on my list this year.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that obviously on the next podcast. But a lot of cool stuff on the list, and that is basically it. Obviously, you this past week were away. Yeah. Lucky you.
I do have some tech stuff that I did though.
Okay.
And to talk about.
Sure.
I got a Google Daydream View VR headset.
Oh yeah, you did get that.
Since that, yeah.
And you took that on the trip with you.
I did. I used it on the plane.
And you wore it on the plane.
It was sweet.
Did you get any looks on the plane?
I don't know. I was in VR.
Did your wife tell you if you got any looks on the plane?
I don't know. She didn't see. Oh. I'm sure I did.
Yeah, you had to have.
But who cares?
Dude, like, now that has to be the best way to watch porn on a plane, I would say.
The only, basically.
The only one. I mean, you could theoretically watch porn on a laptop and have some. You know what's always weird is, okay, so like I'll watch movies on a plane, yeah, and like the sex scene comes on and you're,
it's
like,
awkward.
It's super awkward because, yeah, like you're sitting there and you're like, you know, like sex scene in a movie, yeah, and like the person next to you is like looks over and they're like, what are you like, you know, yeah, it's so yeah, that even helps with that, I would say.
Indeed. Yeah. I even have like played like some R-rated movies and like the violent, really violent stuff comes on and I'm like, this is sort of awkward. I don't know if you're even like, is there a kid behind me watching this? Or so yeah, VR totally takes that problem away. And yeah, and I mean, you can play some games. Time flies. I'll be bringing it on the plane with me to Vegas.
Nice. That's, yeah, that's a long flight for me. So
yeah, it's five hour flight.
So. Yeah. So for me, I've been working a lot, and I've had some time with a curved G-Sync monitor.
Nice.
And I might be in love with it.
Pretty much sold.
I was never sold on the curved, but I am now.
Okay.
This is a 27, I believe. So anything that size and above, I would really like. And
now the idea is that fits the curve of your eye, right? So it's like it naturally, isn't that when they first came out? I swear that was what the,
I'm not specifically like, sure, but
the light comes naturally into your eye that way.
It definitely makes me feel more immersed, I would say, okay, which I like. I don't like, you know, it's just a better, for me, it's a better experience, and I really like it. Sadly, this one's only 1080p because it is a G-Sync screen. And most of those, you're not going to, unless you're spending a lot of money, yeah, you know, but I do, I might go back to a single monitor.
No way.
Yeah, there's some nice, ultra wide curved screens that I've been looking at now.
Man, I can't imagine that though.
That have higher than 4K resolution. I don't need the G-Sync. I do like G-Sync, but I don't need it.
What about like snapping a window or a screen, you know?
On my holiday wish list is a monitor that does have it's made by LG and they have this software that allows you that says, okay, I want four displays on, or I want four windows on this, and it does it. It's really
cool. Is it a 34?
It's a 38.
It's a 38. So yeah, 38. I think you got to be at least 34. The 38 is even better.
I forget the resolutions. It's bigger than the resolution on the 34, and it's $1,400. But
is it 4K equivalent?
It's higher than 4K equivalent. Yes.
Well, I mean, is the vertical 4K?
It's higher than 4K. I think it's 3,800.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So what is that even?
What do they even call that then? I don't know. I'll tell you the.
Well, wait, 4K is 3820, isn't it?
I forget. Hold on. I'll tell you which one it is. Okay. And I'll tell you. I'm just giving away my stuff for my wish list.
So really stupid that I don't know this. Yeah, 4K is 3840.
Okay, it is the.
What's the vertical, I guess? That's the important part.
16.
Is it 2160?
No, 1600.
Okay, so it's actually not then.
It's 3840 times 1600.
Yeah, the vertical is what really matters.
Yeah. But it is the 38UC99W. Yes.
99W.
Yeah.
Who comes up with product names?
I don't know.
Not me.
But I'm definitely sold on this monitor. And it's an IPS screen as well, so.
Oh, yeah, that's sick. It's probably slow, though. Slower.
It's FreeSync. It has FreeSync on it.
Really?
Yeah, it's 1ms motion blur reduction. It's a nice monitor, okay, man.
But it's 1600p, so
yeah. For me, gaming's not important, and for me, super high resolution is not important. For me, it's well, super high resolution is kind of important, but for me, it's I need a lot of area to work in. Like two screens right now that I have is good, but to have it all on one fluid screen without the borders in there would be nice. I think
so long as you have that snap feature.
Yeah. So if you're on the product page, if you go down, there's a feature called Screen Split 2.0, and if you look at it, it looks like it does some cool stuff.
For some reason, LG's page is not on the first page results.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. There's a Walmart ad. Okay. Where are we going? 38.
Yeah. If you go to the 38, and then
it says it's QHD. Huh. I guess it is up top, but not really.
Yeah.
So 1 millisecond.
Yeah, keep on going down. And you'll go down to split screen 2.0.
Oh.
See that?
Oh, that's cool.
So you can set if you want four
that's
screens.
That's not how I pictured it, though. When you said four, I pictured, like, four vertical lines.
No. I mean, you can do three vertical lines.
Yeah. I think I'd have to do it that way.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I'd like the squares.
I would do... I don't know how I do, but anyways, that software allows you to. That's pretty cool.
Probably behind the curve. We should probably know these things already, but yeah, that's really cool. That's sweet.
Yeah, so I do like that. I want that. So if you want to buy it for me, it's $1,400, I believe.
Okay, that's
$1,500
Christmas budget for you, Bob.
Yes, $1,500. So anybody wants to buy me that, I will be very happy.
Oh, $15?
Yeah, it's $1,499.
See, I've only budgeted
$1,399. Oh man, my luck. Yeah, so that is pretty much. But like I said, if you haven't tried a curved screen, I would say go to Best Buy.
Best Buy doesn't really have anything good usually.
Yeah, honestly,
I guess you can just see curved there though.
Yeah, you can see it, but I would spend at least a good 20-30 minutes in front of it to really see if you like it. But again, if you're at Amazon, 30-day returns on anything doesn't matter. A lot of people don't know that, but you could do that.
Are you sure?
100%.
Because I thought that their policy was different for TVs and I don't know if this falls in that.
It might be. I'm not sure. But
yeah.
If you find a place that does have at least a 10-day return, and give you some time with it. Because
Best Buy. Do Best Buy.
Yeah, when I initially
hundreds of dollars of items to Best Buy.
Yeah. When I initially sat down with it, I was like, okay, it's curved screen. But then when I actually got in and I actually sat over there and did work on it, and I like it.
Okay.
So definitely check that out. But we will end the podcast there.
One more really important thing. Rogue One comes out on Thursday. So
yes, I have my tickets.
Get on that.
I will be going Friday afternoon at 1:15 p.m.
I will be going Thursday at 7:30 p.m. First showing.
That's packed.
Yeah, it will be. It's already gotten really good reviews, though. So, like, really.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm just happy for Star Wars in general. What's the one that came out last year?
Why am I blanking?
Yeah, whatever. But, like, just that feeling of a Star Wars movie is just awesome to me.
It's super exciting.
Yeah. So, that feeling that I got, I would love.
Force Awakens.
Yeah, Force Awakens, yeah. So that feeling and that being in that universe and, like, the characters that we know and like just like for
this
me I don't
be different but it's the universe.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of sci-fi, but I do get into sci-fi hardcore. Like Battlestar Galactica was like huge for me.
Yeah,
and Sliders was huge for me, and a couple other ones, but there's not a lot of good ones, I would say, at least that I like TV and movie wise.
Yeah.
For me, so this, you know, having sci-fi type universe that you're in, and I love it. So that's awesome.
It's my favorite place in all of the Unreal world.
Yeah, so definitely go see it. I'm gonna, and again, I never go to see movies. Like literally never. I just don't. I don't like spending that much time in a movie theater. It's like I'm just really weird about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm so against like paying $27 for popcorn and a drink.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and like they're worse than like at a hockey game or a football game. It's like the price gouging is worse than that, and I hate it.
That's true.
Anyways, but I will go see this in the theater. You should go see it in theater. So mm-hmm. we will talk about it on the podcast. We'll both have seen it.
Yes.
And
yes. We won't spoil it.
We won't spoil it. But we will definitely talk about it next week. So I'm super pumped for that. So guys, again, we'll finally end the podcast. And as always, we have a full show notes page that has everything that we talked about, links to everything, so you can check it out. And if you're on your favorite podcasting software and iTunes or whatever, it's just Think Computers, all one word. But